أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا فكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Wahdat and unity is one of the fundamental teachings of our religion Islam, and this ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to get hold and to grab on the cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the habl of Allah. وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And Allah is commanding us to keep away from division. Habl and cord of Allah has been interpreted in the tafsir to be Islam, and the religion Islam is summarized into two things, because when our Holy Prophet was leaving this world, that's what he left behind amongst us. The two things, which is the Holy Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. And before I go to those two things, if you can please move the next slide. So we have a introduction to our discussion. We'll talk about what the Holy Quran says on the concept of Ittihad. Then we'll move forward to talk about the concept of Jama'at and congregation as community, and the mainstream community, to put it in a better words. What is the concept of the mainstream? Who is the mainstream? So that everybody else is obliged in Islam to join them, whereas the mainstream is not supposed to join anybody else, because they are the mainstream. That needs to be crystal clear. And then we'll talk about the three reasons of tafriqa and disunity. What are the three reasons why the disunity takes place. And at the end, we will shortly discuss about the four steps which are instrumental to bring about unity in our ranks. This is from Surah Al-Anbiya. Inna hadhihi ummatukum, ummatakum ummatun wahida. Inna hadhihi ummatakum ummatun wahidatun wa ana rabbukum fa'buduni. So indeed this ummah of yours is one ummah, it's one nation beyond the borders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all of us. And we do not recognize any restrictions between any nations or ethnic backgrounds or language barriers or cultural barriers. Instead, in Islam, we consider everyone who shares the same belief system to be part of one larger global nation. In the next ayat of Quran from Surah An-Nisa, we learn that Allah will never provide وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah is never going to provide the faithless, the disbelievers, the kafirin, having any way to prevail over the believers. This is another policy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is very important to understand as we are discussing the concept of unity. And hold fast altogether to Allah's card, and remember Allah's blessing upon you when you were enemies, and then He brought you, your hearts together, so you became brothers with His blessing. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ أَخْوَانَ. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, whereat He saved you from it. Habl, as I was discussing, is the religion Islam itself, that we are supposed to grab on to this religion. And religion and all the teachings of the religion that has been left amongst us are summarized into two: the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final word, and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Quran considers any nation that is lacking the unity among themselves to be lacking the aql of that nation. See, intellect is divided into two basic types. We have the theoretical intellect, aql-e nazari, and the practical intellect, which is aql-e amali. Sometimes you can sit with people and they talk sense, they talk very nice stuff when they're sitting in their living rooms. But practically, when we step into the practical arena, we find some of the very theoretically intellectual people make very, very much unexpectedly unintellectual decisions in their practical life. So, what we understand and what we need to keep in our minds is theoretical intellect is found more often. You can more often find people who have the theoretical intellect, even among the scholars, even the khawas, and also among the awam. Theoretical intellect is more commonly found, but the practical intellect is very uncommon. This is true about the scholars as well. There are few who have the higher level of practical intellect, and this is true about the people, the awamun nas, the regular people as well, but that there are few who have that level of practical intellect. In the recent incidents, just like you noticed after the election, what the سماحة الولي الفقيه حفظه الله, what he has indicated in his words, that عوام الناس basically won the whole issue, and they took a lead over some of the khawas. So, which is true, and, you know. So basically, those are the people who have the practical intellect, so that they can take the right decisions at the right time by making the right judgments, and they can apply their right judgments precisely at the times where those judgments are needed. These people are less in numbers. So even among the khawas, this is something which is less found. The Holy Quran says, تحسبهم جميعا وقلوبهم شتى ذلك بأنهم قوم لا يعقلون. So you think they are together, but their hearts are divided, in other words. That's because they are people who don't think. So division in the dictionary of Holy Quran, in the Thaqafat of Quran, in the Farhang of Quran, is considered to be a sign of the lack of practical intellect of a community. If you happen to find in any community there is division taking place, this is a sign that that community is lacking the practical intellect. If they had the practical intellect, they would never end up, they would never allow the divisions to take place and to basically end up dividing their community. And ittihad, on the other hand, is considered to be the sign of aqle amali of a nation. A nation has the practical intellect if it believes and practices the ittihad. So now that we have already learned up till this moment that we are supposed to grab on the Holy Quran and on to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in order to keep our unity intact and keep on receiving the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoiding the tafriqa and divisions. So now we have to look at the Holy Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. When it comes to the Holy Quran is already protected and saved from ikhtilaf. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If Quran was from anyone other than Allah, they would have certainly found in it a lot of difference. There's no differences in Quran. There's no ikhtilaf found in the Quran. So lack of ikhtilaf and differences inside the Quran is confirmed by the Quran itself. So Quran doesn't have any ikhtilaf. Nothing of Quran collides or contradicts with any other verse found in the Holy Quran. Certainly we need to understand it in the correct perspectives by turning to the scholars who can understand the knowledges and sciences of tafsir of Quran, and all those mutlaq and muqayyid and mujmal and mubayyin and aam and khas of Quran. If we learn all those things in the right perspectives, that's where we can discover that the Quran is certainly not contradicting at all and is in perfect uniformity and unity and in perfect unidirectional approach, taking the whole community towards one direction and asking the entire community to follow one path towards that one direction. So this is about Quran. And then if you go to the Ahlul Bayt, we find that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are the biggest supporters of Wahdat in their life and biggest promoters of Wahdat as well. Imam Ali alayhi salam writes in his letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari that وَلَيْسَ رَجُلٌ فَعْلًا I can't read in this light. Thank you. وليس رجل فعلم أحرص على جماعة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وألفتها مني. So there is no single man in the nation of the Prophet who is more greedy towards unity than me. So Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions himself to Abu Musa Ash'ari in his letter that basically he is the most greedy person towards the unity of the nation of the Prophet. So there is no human being who loves unity and wants unity and strives for unity better than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. وَأَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ حُسْنَ الثَّوَابِ وَكَرَمَ الْمَآبِ. I seek through this the best of the rewards, good rewards, and the honorable ending. So this is in the Maktub number 78. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, despite the fact that for 25 long years, his right was taken away, but he was exercising unity for the sake of Islam, and in order to keep the nation of the Holy Prophet on the straight path, and for the Islam itself to survive and sustain, he maintained the unity and practiced the concept of unity, and that's exactly the same concept which has been promoted by the leadership today to maintain. You found these some of those great and wise fatwas coming from the leader recently about how we are supposed to talk about the elderly people of some of the sects of Islam, which shows his practical wisdom, not only his intellectual wisdom but his practical wisdom, having a panoramic view over the situations that the Ummah is facing right now and how much the unwise policies of some so-called scholars had been backfiring the concept of unity and backfiring Islam itself. So this is the policy of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that the leadership has promoted, because Imam Ali alayhi salam was the one who exercised unity in his life with people that he didn't agree with, people that he was strongly in disagreement with, but he was still exercising unity for the sake of protecting the religion Islam itself. So, Quran and Ahlul Bayt are the madhar and reflection of unity, void of any kind of ikhtilaf. There is no division inside the Quran, there is no division inside the Ahlul Bayt and their policies and their teachings and their statements. The nur of both of them is also in unity with each other. And if they were not in unity with each other, Prophet would have never said that إِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا. They would never, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. I'm leaving among you two valuable things, Book of God and my Ahlul Bayt. وَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا. And certainly these two will never get separated from each other, حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضُ, until they both meet me at the fountain. So, the unity is existing in the nur of Quran and Ahlul Bayt because the policies of Quran have been completely implemented by the Ahlul Bayt, and when Quran has no ikhtilaf, Ahlul Bayt and their seerat and policies certainly have no ikhtilaf. It is extremely unfair and unjust to say this kind of remark that Imam Hassan alayhi salam was inclined towards sulh. Ishan tamayul be sulh dashtand, wa Imam Hussain alayhi salam tamayul be jang dashtand. Imam Hussain was inclined towards war. This kind of statement shows that a person did not understand the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. Because Ahlul Bayt are neither inclined towards sulh nor inclined towards war, they are inclined towards Allah. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the ishq and deep love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they do what Allah commands. They do what Allah wills. So it's extremely unfair for a person to interpret the seerat like this. This shows the guy did not understand the seerat, because he's ignoring the fact that Imam Hussain alayhi salam was also participating in the sulh with Imam Hassan. And if Imam Hassan was available in the time of Imam Hussain, he would have done exactly the same how Imam Hussain did in Karbala. Imam Hassan would have done the same. Second of all, Imam Hassan was not inclined towards sulh, as it was said by some. Imam Hassan alayhi salam was the one who went out to fight and complete the unfinished business of his father to root out the zulm and the taghut. And Imam Hassan says in his hadith, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ وَجَدْتُ أَنصَارًا لَقَاتَلْتُهُ لَيْلِي وَنَهَارِي. I swear to Allah, if I had found supporters, I would have fought against him day and night. The same Imam Hassan who says, I would have fought against him day and night, some people come up and say, he's inclined towards soul. Then why didn't you also add the word before saying that Imam Hassan alayhi salam actually came out to fight against the Zalim and Tawud, but more than 90% of his army sided with the Zalim and basically abandoned him. So he had no other option because he didn't have no support. Mentioned the teachings of Ahlul Bayt in an incomplete and unfair way is also khiyanat and is unacceptable. So, Quran and Ahlul Bayt are totally in sync with each other in their policies, and all of the Ahlul Bayt behave exactly the same, in the same way, in towards any situation of human life as any other member of Ahlul Bayt would have done. So here we move forward towards the concept of unity, that how much importance it has been laid to unity in Islam. Islam considers the entire mu'min ummah to be brothers. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. So all the mu'min brothers and sisters are basically just like they're, you know, a real relation with each other, just like brothers. So we have to remember that any member of our mu'min community living at any corner of the world should be considered as our brother and sister. And if this global universal brotherhood was properly digested and understood by some people, you would never hear that types of remarks coming from some people. Now, you know what? Why would Islamic Republic of Iran send money to Bosnia? There were some people who were objecting those kinds of, making those kinds of objections. Why would we end up supporting the people, the innocent civilians in Palestine? What I have to do with them? چرا لقمه از دهان من بگیرند بریزند تو گروه بوسنی هستند یه ده اینجور حرفای غیر اسلامی میزنند. Because they fail to understand what the Prophet has said. You should have thanking your Islamic Republic and your leadership to have taught you and made the sunnah of Rasulullah alive in the community once again, so that they can understand that every person at every corner of the world is part of my body. Just like if one part of my body feels the pain, I can't say if there is a pain in my finger, I can't say it has nothing to do with me, this is something related to my finger. I can't say that because that's part of my body, isn't it right? I have everything to do with all what is taking place to my finger because that's part of me. Look at the beautiful example the Prophet has furnished, that we are part of one jasad, kal jasad al wahid, one body. So if you are not feeling the pain of other innocent people in other corners of the world, you must understand that you are not understanding and not following the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jama'at, when we understand the Ahmiyat and concept of unity, the next step forward is to understand who's the mainstream. Everybody can end up saying, well, I'm the mainstream, the rest of the people are supposed to join me. Isn't that right? Well, let's ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the mainstream? When somebody asked the Prophet that Prophet had said in his hadith, Man faraqa jama'at al-muslimin faqad khala'a ribqat al-islam min unuqihi. Whoever parts from the mainstream community of Muslims has taken the yoke of bondage of Islam away from his neck. That means he's no longer a Muslim. In other words, somebody asked the Prophet, وَمَا جَمَعَتُ أُمَّتِكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, who is the mainstream community of your ummah? The Prophet replied, جَمَعَتُ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ قَلُّ. That means the community who is following the path of Haqq, although they may be less. So numbers really don't matter in Islam. What matters is that, are we on the path of Haqq or not? If you are on the path of Haqq and you are alone, you need to be proud over what you are doing. Then the Prophet said to Ammar Yasir, لَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَادِيًا وَسَلَكَ عَلِيٌّ وَادِيًا فَسْلُكْ وَادِيًا سَلَكَهُ عَلِيٌّ وَخَلِّ النَّاسَ طُرَّهُ. If the humanity goes towards a valley, and Ali goes towards another valley, you go towards where Ali has gone, and leave the entire humanity aside. So did the Prophet care about the numbers? Prophet cared about Haqq. So, if we want to know where we are supposed to go, we have to look where Imam Ali al-Salam has gone, because Prophet has said, Aliyun ma'al haqq, wal haqqu ma'a aliyin, yaduru ma'ahu haythu da'a. Ali is with Haqq, and Haqq is with Ali, and Haqq goes wherever Ali goes. So not only we have a criteria taught to us by the Prophet, but then we have, after the Prophet, where the division took place among the community, because of reasons that we are coming to very soon, we find that there are the leaders appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaders from Ahlul Bayt, who have been working on the path, on the straight path of Haqq, so that we cannot end up having any ambiguity about whom are we supposed to follow. So, people, jama'at, the mainstream jama'at, in another hadith, it says, jama'atu ahlil haqq, walau kanu ashratan. That's the Maghuna riwayah. That the mainstream community is the community of Haqq and righteousness, although they may be 10. So if you are 10 in number, and there may be 1,000 on the other side, but you are the one who follow the path of Haqq, everybody else is obliged to join you, and you're not supposed to join anybody else. So this focal point in Islam is not the numbers, how many numbers you have and how many numbers your opposition has. The focal point is that who belongs to the path of Haqq. That's the focal point that we need to focus on as we are discussing to unify. Certainly, the major reason, as you can see in the slide, is our desires and egos. I remember Imam Ridwanullahi Alayh saying, if 124,000 prophets of God get together, let's suppose in one city at one time, you cannot find divisions among 124,000 human beings. When two of us gather and we find that we end up in differences. So of course, because one person is standing for his ego and the other guy is working for his ego. So the root cause is nothing but the hawa nafs, khahishate nafsani, the personal whims and egos and desires that lead us towards basically the divisions. That's the root cause. But there are three other causes that we need to discuss about the reasons of disunity. And those three causes are as follows. You can see the apart from the root cause that we discussed, there are three other causes that cause divisions, practically speaking, when we are living together in any community. Because of the hadaf and goal, because of the sirat and path that we are treading, and because of the wali and the leader that we are following. If you are following a different goal, then we can never be in unity. It's impossible to achieve a unity with a person who is following a different goal. Just like it's impossible to achieve unity with a person who's walking a different path. If we want to have unity, then let's be very clear. We need to follow the same path that leads towards the same goal. And also, how we end up following this path and the goal. Can you please move to the next slide? Example of not recognizing the hadaf and the goal is that opening up a masjid in such and such place in North America and putting a ban on all those ulama who talk about Walayatul Faqih and Yawm al-Quds. And you find several, it's not one and two, because I travel a lot, I can mention by names of the cities and the names of the centers to you, where there are unwritten policies of those centers that you are not allowed, no speaker who supports the Yawm al-Quds is allowed to step into that center. So that's an example where the people don't know why in the world are we opening a masjid, a house of God in Islam? Is it for your personal opinions and the opinions of this rich guy or that rich guy to be implemented in any organization? Are we here to worship the opinions of the rich and influential? Or is the house of God where we come here to worship Allah according to whatever Imam Sadiq al-Islam has commanded? Whatever the Holy Prophet has commanded, whatever the Ahlul Bayt have commanded, whatever the Holy Quran has commanded, regardless of this rich guy or this influential guy liking the command of Allah or disliking the command of Allah, regardless of those things. So some people don't know the hadaf. Why do we make a center in Islam? Why bother to spend $25 million and then implementing your own personal policy? Is it your personal opinion club? Or is the house of God? Some people have converted the Islamic centers into personal opinion clubs. It's not a masjid. Because doesn't these walls and those ceilings do not stand for the i'la of kalimatul haqq, for the uplift and elevating the kalima and word of Allah. They stand for uplift of their own personal desires, which are serving the taghut. And example of not recognizing the path and the sirat that we are supposed to tread, which would lead us towards the desired unified goal, is that sending the son into the army of Tawut. And there are not less people doing that either. I went to a kafir country in Europe, and this guy came to me and said that, you know what, when we do the oath of allegiance for the citizenship of that country, we did the oath already that we have to be aligned with them and support the country, so Islam says you have to honor your oaths, you cannot breach your covenants and oaths in Islam, so how can we not support them? And I said to him, did you ever say your prayers? Did you ever read Adhan in your life? Did you ever say your Iqamat? Did you ever recite your Kalima since you became Baligh? Or even before you became Baligh, our mothers used to teach us the Kalima before we used to go to bed, to read the Kalima before going to bed. Isn't that right? So didn't you read Kalima in your life ever? So which oath of allegiance was earlier than the other? You already did an oath of allegiance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't that right? And before we were created and even born into this world, our souls did the oath. And عالم الألس ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا. Isn't that right? We have the المواثيق الثلاث, the three covenants that all the souls did. Covenant in Misaq towards Tawheed, and covenant in Misaq towards the Risalat, and covenant in Misaq towards the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So which one was earlier? So some people are basically they don't understand what's the path. So they are going the wrong path. And the wrong path can never lead you towards the right hadith and goal. So why does this deviation and inhiraf take place? Because of the third reason that I mentioned, and that was the reason of wali. Why some people are lost in their goal and why some people are lost in their path? Because the third reason was ignored. So, just to make it crystal clear for all the youth and the kids who are sitting here, they don't miss out on this fundamental point, because that's what causes disunity in our community. Hadaf and tariq and qa'id. That's how we say in Arabic. And in Farsi, you say hadaf and rah and rahat. In Urdu, we say maqsad and rasta and qa'id. In English, we say goal and path and the leader. So these are the three things that has to be uniform before you can think of a unity. Imagine a lion running away. Towards that hadaf is the wali. And That's a very fundamental question. If we happen to follow an unjust, non-qualified wali and leader, then there's no way. It's unthinkable for you to achieve the hadaf, and it is unthinkable for you to even tread the straight path of Islam. You know, the straight path of Islam, we are supposed to follow in the middle of the path. You know, I remember my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying in his lecture that Hanif actually means that a person walks in the middle of the path. That's what is called Hanif. Hanif, you are called that you're walking as a Hanif person when you're walking in the middle of the straight path. If you happen to walk in the sidelines, this is not called Hanif in Arabic, this is called Janif or Mutajanif. So you are vulnerable to fall down anytime into the hellfire. Because remember, the straight path is a path which is walking either through the hellfire or over the hellfire, according to two different Paul in the Tafsir. And the same straight path that we are walking here is the same straight path which will, the mazhar of that path will appear in the form of Pul-e Sirat, the bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment. Because Day of Judgment has 100 plus names in Islam, and one of the names is Yawm al-Fuhur. So things would appear on us. For those who have the ma'rifat, things were already clear. But for those who didn't have the ma'rifat, things would appear upon them on the Day of Judgment. That's the way it used to be back then in the life of dunya. But they failed to realize. So the way we used to walk on the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, yek rahe, yek rahe zameeni aur aasmani nist. Sirat al-Mustaqim, yek rahe se az durune insan means that. So the way you're walking the straight path here, the same day you're going to be walking on the straight path on the Day of Judgment from the Pul-e Sirat. So in order to make sure that we continue stay on the course, on the straight path, in the middle of the straight path, so we are not vulnerable to fall down and being at the brink of falling down into the hellfire on both the sides by doing, God forbid, the harams.
And to continue achieving the same hadaf that we are supposed to, we require the leadership. And but the point is that some people still fail to recognize the leadership. Isn't that right? There are a lot of people who fail to recognize the leadership and the significance of the leadership. If we understood the significance of the leadership, you know, we would never end up in these situations like the community is facing, that the Imam of the time is now forced, he's now forced to stay in the ghaybat and not to appear openly in front of everybody. Isn't that right? So people are not prepared for the leadership. So unless and until the people are prepared for the leadership, nothing significant can change. Why we fail to understand the leadership is also very important. See, why we don't understand the hadaf and the path, the goal and the path, is because we don't understand the leader. It's the leader who is supposed to guide us. What's the hadaf? So we understand without making mistakes. And what's the path? So we tread without making the mistake. Why we don't understand the leader? So we didn't make a mistake about the hadaf and the path? Is because of the fact that we did not have the ma'rifat of haq. If we had the ma'rifat of haq itself, we will never end up having confusion about who is Ahlul Haqq. Why people fail to recognize who is Ahlul Haqq? So we are supposed to follow them? Because they don't know what Haqq is. That's the sequence. And why do people don't know what the Haqq is because they lack the taqwa. Because the Holy Quran has already said, Suratul Anfal, verse number 29, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. So we learn in the light of this ayat of Quran, if we have taqwa, and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will empower us with the noor of Furqan so that we can distinguish haq from the batil and not be making mistakes about what is haq and what is batil. So anybody who is still making mistakes in his life and still could not distinguish what haq is and ends up getting confused must understand there is something lacking in his own taqwa. And because there is something lacking in his taqwa, that's the reason why he will fail to understand who are Ahle Haqq. When you don't understand what Haqq is, you will be making mistakes about Ahle Haqq. And when you fail to understand who are Ahle Haqq and the true leaders, then there is no guarantee you will continue to follow the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, and likewise there is no guarantee you will continue to pursue the same hadaf, which is the hadaf of Islam. The time is already over, and I end my speech on this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which is narrated from by Sulayn ibn Qais. I said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, "Ma adna ma yakunu bihi ar-rajulu dhallan?" What's the minimum, bare minimum, with which a person is called misguided? And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied, "An la ya'rif, an la ya'rifa man amara Allahu bi ta'atihi wa farada wilayatahu." That a person fails to recognize the one whose ita'at was made wajib by Allah and whose walayat and governance was fariza and a duty upon his neck. If anybody fails to recognize who's the wali and fails to understand that his obedience was made wajib, this is the bare minimum how he can be called a zal and gumrah and misguided. وَجَعَلَ حُجَّةً فِي أَرْضِهِ وَشَهِدَهُ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a hujjat and evidence on his earth and a witness over his creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Qur'an and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Let's do the dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhdul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Wakhdul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfad wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin. Wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. La sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur juyush al-Muslimin wa asakir al-Muwahideen. Allahumma fukka'an al-Usara' al-Muslimin. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibba wa tarza. وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.